From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Collins de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Well, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this privilege, this opportunity to be together as a church family. I pray for these few minutes that we have, you speak to us, you touch our lives, you affect us, and you encourage us. In this darkness, let the light of Jesus Christ continue to guide us and lead us. Thy word indeed is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you for such a beautiful fellowship tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Great. All right, so we're on. Last week we dealt with the fourth principle. I think it was the fourth principle. We're doing seven great principles, okay? The first principle, if you remember, is that man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. Man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. Now, salvation is so mysterious, if you want to call it that. If it wasn't, Nicodemus, who met Jesus in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, Bible says, went to see Jesus by night, and Jesus had a chat with him, a very beautiful chat about being born again. And Nicodemus didn't understand it. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? You know, so Jesus said that you are a teacher of Israel and that you don't know these things. And Jesus began to explain to him in John chapter 3. He says that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You know, so if you are born of the flesh, I mean, if I give birth to a child, I have a son, Joshua, I mean, he's flesh. You see him, he looks like me, this, that, and that. You see, that's the physical. Now, when you are born again in the spirit, it's very, very different. I mean, your features, the way you look, how you're growing, how you're surviving, all of that is quite mysterious. You get it? So even the concept of born again, Nicodemus didn't understand it. And many Christians don't even understand the concept of born again. Because the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. How can somebody be a new creature when I don't see any change? I mean, I know him. He went to the altar, or he followed the service and he gave his life to Christ, and he's saying that he's new. How can somebody claim that they are new? I mean, it's quite mysterious, you know. So, and that's what we are trying to go through, these seven great principles, a very wonderful book written by one of the best authors in the world, Doug Ewart Mills, you know, our prophet, our bishop, our founder. And therefore, my aim and my objective is that you'll be able to understand. Many of you have heard seven great principles before. You've heard it again and again and again. But I think it's one of the basic, fundamental footholds for a successful Christian life. Many people are not successful in doing many things. I mean, people are not successful in life. People try. That's why people say, well, you get rich quick, or what, you die try, something like that. You know, it's not easy to be successful, to get rich. I mean, riches is quite a mirage. You know, people set off to want to get rich, and it's not so easy to get rich. In other words, when it comes to Christianity, it's not everybody who understands Christianity, especially even in our country, Guyana. It's not every church, everybody who understands, very important things about Christian life. And so for me, I think that this is one of the greatest books for a great foundation of your Christian life. And so the first principle is that man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. So you are spirit. You are spirit. You have a soul, and you are living in that body that you are carrying right now. And that body can fail you, that body can be tired, but the spirit doesn't get tired. That's why they say that where there's a will, there is a way. Sometimes the body the body can not help you when you have a desire to want to do something. maybe you are not well, you're sick, you've broken your leg, but you want to go somewhere, but you know, you can't go because the body is not able to take you to where you want to go. So man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in the body. Now, I want to acknowledge the presence of Honorable Prince Nelson. He's one of the few who can make me stop preaching and acknowledge his presence. Praise, you're welcome. The second principle is that the spirit of an unsaved man, the spirit of an unsaved man, is that the second principle? Let me go back and see. That the spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. All right? The spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. The spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. That's the third principle. And then the fourth principle is, after you are born again, your spirit is a newborn baby and it must grow. And that's what we ended last week. And we looked at developing, how to develop your spirit. And I hope that you are developing your spirit, isn't it? Are you developing your spirit? Are you praying? Are you reading? Are you watching, you know, preaching videos? I mean, here and there, you just add a movie or two to just, you know, ease your mind. Because staying indoors for a long time, you know, you need to balance a few things. A little bit of exercise, like what people are doing. But most importantly, your spirit. Because if you don't take care, this is, you actually feed your flesh a lot. You eat, you sleep, you eat, you sleep, you eat, you sleep. You watch movies, you watch African moods. You work, what, Guyanese moods, you read culture news, you do, Newsroom, Gordy Mosley, Compton, is it Compton you call it? That guy who comes on the radio and entertains people. But you can easily feed your flesh if you don't take care. So it's very, very, very important to feed your spirit. You must be spiritually active. You must be spiritually alive, spiritually alert, because Your nature, you are spirit. You are not flesh. You are spirit. You have to spend time with your spirit and spend time developing your spirit. This evening, for the few minutes that we have together, we're going to look at the fifth principle. That is, after you are saved, your mind is still the same. It must be renewed. After you are saved, your mind is still the same and it must be renewed. Now, your mind is very, very, very important. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 that, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to read the scripture again. He says that, and be not transformed and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You transform by the renewing of your mind. That's what happens. You transform by the renewing of your mind. You can't, the transformation is very important. What is happening is that when you are saved, God gives you a new spirit. Your spirit is new. That's what God does. He gives you a new spirit. But your mind is still the same old mind. Now, what is in the mind? If you look at what the mind is what we use for consciousness. Your consciousness is in your mind, your consciousness. So for example, if when you are born again, the things that you are conscious of, they are still the same things. So unless the mind is renewed, you'll be conscious about things. Let's say when you're not saved, you were very conscious about naked people. You get it? When somebody's naked, your mind, I mean, draws your attention. You become so conscious about it. But when you become a Christian, you need to be able to renew the mind so that when you see somebody who's naked, it's almost as if you didn't see the person. Are you following what I'm trying to say? So consciousness is in the mind. And then you also have imaginations. Imaginations are also in the mind. Imaginations are also in the mind. And you have perceptions. So you imagine the things you imagine. I mean, sometimes, you know, you imagine some things. You imagine you were here. You imagine, oh, your life would have been like that. Your life could have been like this. Why is my life like this? Oh, I wish I had a boy. I had a man. I had a girl. You know, this quarantine season, this lockdown season, you know, partial lockdown. Well, you know, all kinds of things. Imaginations. And when you are not saved, your imaginations are different. We all understand that. When we're not saved, we had different imaginations. I mean, there are certain dreams we used to have. You know, dreams. I remember my big brother, when, you know, when he was in Ghana, before he migrated to the United States of America, I mean, his mind, he imagined himself in America, the Big Apple. The Big Apple. They used to call the place the Big Apple. And we're not living so far from the airport in Ghana, like Kumasi. And so when the plane takes off from the Kumasi airport, it kind of goes above where, you know, where we used to live. And therefore, my brother and his friend, when they see the plane take off and it begins to, you know, mount up, then they run behind it, and they'll be shouting. It's like the imagination, they imagine themselves in the plane traveling to United States of America. I mean, it wasn't a surprise that in 1979 he was able to get on board one of those planes and find himself in the United States of America. I also had a friend who, you know, his imagination was also in New York. I mean, I remember when we were in sixth form, you know, doing A-levels, I you know, his father had a shop in town. So sometimes after classes, after lectures, we'd go, we'd just, you know, a while away the time at the father's shop. We'll be talking, we'll be chatting. And I knew that my sisters were in Europe, in the Netherlands, and, you know, they would want to, we're just trying to put things together so that I'll join them and continue my education. And this my friend, you know, he said, period, he's not going anywhere but the Big Apple. Another Big Apple imagination I met in my life in my earlier times. And so when the point came for me to leave, and I told him when I was going to Amsterdam, going to the Netherlands, he said, well, God bless you, God be with you, but he is waiting. If he doesn't go to Yankee, he's not going anywhere. Yankee. And you know, God being so good, he went to Yankee, but, you know, it wasn't a very nice story. I don't want to, you know, bore you with that. But that is imagination. That is in the mind. So when you are not saved, you have imaginations. You know, you're looking for your Prince Charming coming on a white horse. You know, you want to go to Barbados, a beachside every weekend. No, you have imaginations. And therefore, when you get saved, all these things that are in those faculties, your conscience, your imagination, your perception, your thinking. My God, your thinking. Many people are stuck in their thinking as Christians. You know, they are born again. They are saved. God has given them a new spirit. But they are thinking. And that's so sad. And when your thinking, your imagination, your perception, your consciousness, your judgment, your language, your memory, you know, if all these things, your philosophy, if these things are not changed, they are not renewed, what happens is that you'll be like you're born again, but you can't enjoy the Christian life. That's basically what happens. What happens is that you're born again, but you can't enjoy the Christian life. You understand? Now, what is happening is that you are like a vehicle, you know, when you are saved, and then you your mind is not renewed. You are like a vehicle. Do you understand? You're like a vehicle that the engine is restored, the engine is all right, but gas inside, you get it? Or you have a very nice vehicle, but the engine inside is not good. So even though it looks outside, it has alloy wheels, it has a CD player, it has everything, amplifier and all of that, but the vehicle cannot move because the engine is not good. It's something similar with when you are saved and your mind, your thinking is not renewed. You only change by your thinking. Let me tell you, many people can do far better than they are doing in the Christian circles. Many people can do far better than they're doing in Shepherd House International. Many of you can do far better. You'll be very surprised that God, the sky is the limit in what God wants you to achieve, where God wants you to be. Your destiny, your purpose is high, is greater, but it is the way you think. I remember one day, I had in my office a very nice, beautiful young lady. I was burdened to talk to her because the way she was living her life, I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand the way she was living her life. And what she was doing, this is a young lady who has gone through school, has been through the university, graduated with honors. For me and from my background, if somebody goes to the university, that person's mind has been trickled, challenged, has been, broadened. The person is broad in his thinking and his ability to process information and to make decisions. And so when I realized that this young, beautiful lady was somewhat very loose. When I say loose, you understand. Very loose. I mean, was very promiscuous. Several guys had, had an experience with her. And in fact, what actually made me invite her to my office was that at that particular moment, she was actually going out with somebody in the church. They didn't have any plans of getting married. And the guy was far younger. The guy's achievement was nowhere compared to her achievement. And from my mind, by the grace of God, my thinking has improved as I've given my life to Christ and I'm working with it. My thinking has improved. And therefore, I found something wrong with it. I found something wrong about what she was actually settling for. Many of you are settling for things you don't have to settle for. You see, you should not be desperate. Your desperation is because of your thinking. You think that the old thinking is still there. Your mind has not been renewed. And therefore, you can't grasp what God is able to do with you. Let me tell you, somebody tonight, God is telling you that what he expects of you and where he has placed you, you have no idea. But you have to be able to renew your mind to accept the plans that God has for you. Bible says that I know the plans that I have for you. Great plans. Your plans and my plans, the way we think and the way we imagine things, can never be compared to what God wants to do with us. Can I have an amen? And so the Bible says that you are only transformed when your mind is renewed. You're only transformed. I mean, some of the things, I don't know if you've heard them, but, some people were even saying during, when the coronavirus came to Guyana, when we started having, positive cases and all of that, I hear some people were saying that if you get corona, you'll get corona. I mean, how can you say that? How can you say that if you are still going to go around, you're not going to practice what the Ministry of Public Health is advising, all the protocols, wash your hands, mask, this, that, all the things that they are teaching us, boost your immune system, vitamin C, warm lime water, lemon, and all of that. If you don't do that, then you just go around doing everything like normal, and then you say that you won't get the virus. I don't think it's a good thinking. You understand? Because when there was no coronavirus, we used to do so many things. I mean, look at us. We are now meeting online. This wasn't how we used to fellowship. Now, even if I want to touch you, I can't touch you. If I want to hug you, I can't hug you. I wish I could hug you through the but it's not possible. And even when we meet physically, we're not able to hug each other. Say, you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. We can't do that anymore. The thinking has to change. Otherwise, your life will not be different. Your life will be the same. In fact, if you, in this coronavirus season, in this pandemic, if you're going to think the same way like you used to think when there was no pandemic, you probably will end up dying. And that's what happens with Christians. That's what happens with those who don't do well in the Christian circles. They give their life to Christ, but then the spirit is new. The mind is not renewed. The mind is not renewed. And the mind must be renewed before you'll be able to understand and receive what God wants to do for you. Now, the mind is what direct you. You get it? So your spirit is new, your body is not new, your mind or your soul is not new. You remember that. Now, remember that the mind is also like your memory. So there are things that are locked up in your memory, things that are locked up in your mind that you have to renew them or let them go by becoming this new person that you are now. Are you following what I'm trying to say? And so I just want to take you through one or two steps in how to renew your mind. Is that okay? There are so many things we think about. I mean, some people have not given up some of the dreams that they had when they were not saved. They still maintain those dreams. They still want to be what they want to be from the days when they were not saved. How can your plans before you got saved be the plans of God? It is now that you've given yourself to Christ, you've given your life to Jesus Christ, and therefore everything becomes new, including the plans He has for you. So how can you come into this new world, this new life, with an old plan? It can't work like that. Even if you join a new company, you can't take the attitude and the culture and how you used to behave in your old working place. You can't bring it to a new working place. Maybe there you were not using computers. Now you have to use computers. And so how are you gonna survive in that place when you say, oh, where I used to work, we were not using computers, so I'm not gonna sit down here and use any computer. No, you have to renew your mind and adjust to the new working environment. Let's say where you used to work, you had a lunch break of a half an hour, or let's say 1 hour, and then you take this new job, but then the lunch break is 30 minutes. And what are you gonna do? You will have to adjust and adapt. Your mind has to be renewed with this half an hour instead of the 1 hour you are used to. And it's the same way in the Christian circles. Many of you are still following what was in your mind before you gave your life to Christ. And you don't want to let it go. If you don't let it go, you can't. I don't know what else to say, but you cannot enjoy. Bible says that, you know, there's what we call the perfect will of God. Do you get it? And you should be able to prove it. You should be able to understand it. You should be able to embrace it. Because when we say Christianity is a very nice life, many people don't understand. Why don't they understand? Because the thinking has not changed. Because what they used to think when they were in the world, when they come into Christianity, they come with that same mindset. So how do we renew our mind? How do we renew our mind? You want to know that? Wonderful. Two things. We renew our mind by receiving the Word of God. Receiving the Word of God. That's the first point. We renew our minds by receiving the Word of God. All right? Now, it may sound simple. You all have Bibles. You have several Bibles. But there is a difference between receiving the Bible and just listening to a preaching or reading the Bible or learning the Bible. Receiving is the point where you take what the Bible is saying to make it your point of view or your way of life. So you receive the Word of God. The Bible says, a man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. When you receive that, it means that food will not be a very critical commodity to you any longer. If you are hungry, it's not a big deal. There are still Christians who, when they are hungry, it's a big deal. I mean, it's like I get in with pain, isn't it? My head is hurting. So that when we even declare a fast, you can't fast beyond 12 o'clock. I mean, some of you don't even know how to fast from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Or even from 6 a.m. to the next day, 6 a.m. to the next morning, 6 a.m. You know, some of you, if I say you should try that, you won't make it. Why? Because your mind about eating has not been renewed. Your mind about, if I don't eat, what is the benefit of that? What is the advantage if I don't eat for 24 hours? Your mind about it is that there's no benefit. It's rather wind pain. It's rather headache. It's rather, you know, you can't walk. You can't. It is all negative because you have not received the word of God, you actually probably don't even know to receive. Are you with me? And so receiving the word of God is different from reading the word of God or studying the word of God. Receiving means you take it and it becomes yours. Now, if I hand you money, if I give you a Granger right now, you can only benefit from the Granger when you receive it and it becomes yours. In the same way, it is only when you receive the word of God that your mind can be renewed. You get it? So, for example, let's look at one of the major things that, I mean, of course, we can never, you know, we always talk about relationships in general. Let's say, you know, as a young guy, as a young man, you know, you know you're in a relationship at a very tender age. You're a teenager. There's no plan of marriage. You're going to school and then you're in a relationship. You have a girlfriend, you have a boyfriend. And then let's you give your life to Christ at that teenage age. What happens? You have to renew your mind by scripture. That the way I used to live my life, that is not how God expects me to continue to live my life. You have to receive the word that says that let fornication not be named once among you. Let it not be called. Let fornication not be a subject. You should not identify yourself with fornication. I mean, if that is what the word of God says, you can only live a very pure life and escape hurts, escape diseases, escape demons, avoid all these things by receiving the word of God and making it your lifestyle. So if somebody meets you and asks you, you have a girlfriend, you have a boyfriend, what you say is that, no, I don't need that, because you have received the word of God. It has become part of you. Are you with me? It's, for example, again, the Bible says, be careful for nothing and everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, we live in a world where we worry. I mean, we worry about this, worry about that. I mean, this season is job, is money, is food. As I see many people doing humanitarian work. People need this, people need that. The thought of it, the thought of not having food, the thought of not knowing what will happen to you tomorrow can make you anxious. It can make you worry. It can make you depressed. It can make you think and behave as if there is no God. It will make you behave as if your God, the God of heaven and the God of earth, cannot do anything for you. Now, I was reading my Bible this morning, and then God was talking to Moses and telling him that, you know, he showed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as Almighty. But the name I Am, they didn't know. He didn't show himself to them like that. I mean, God is so wide. God is so big. God is so deep that you and I have not begun to experience the length, the breadth, and the depth of his care, his love, and his provision for us. And so when you become a Christian and you are able to receive the word that says that be careful for nothing, and that my God shall supply all your needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you receive that word, then there will not be a case where you're worried about what you're going to eat. So like in this season, I want you to understand, my Christian brother, my Christian friend, that God is going to take care of you. That is my conviction. That in this pandemic season, in this era, God is going to feed me. God is going to take care of me. He's going to give me money. By the end of the pandemic, it will be as if there was no pandemic, where my provision, the taking care of my needs and everything is concerned. Remember what David said? David said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He said, yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Do you believe God is with you? Do you believe that he loves you? Do you believe that he will make sure that your foot will not be your head against a rock? He will keep his angels charge over you. Do you know how much God loves you? Do you know how much he wants to take care of you? Do you know how much he has provided for you? Do you know the number of people God has connected to your life? My God. By the way, he will cause men to give to your bosom. Do you believe what I'm saying? And so when you become a Christian, the burden of anxiety, not knowing what will happen tomorrow, it disappears, because the Bible says that I know the plans that I have for you. God knows the plans he has for us. we may not know the plan that we have for ourselves. And so, you see, so those who don't receive the word of God as they become Christians and renew their minds, they go on. I mean, in they don't have time for God. They want to make things. They want to make it in life. They want to do this. They want to do that. They want to do that. But you come to the end of it. Bible says that trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. When you receive a word like this, then you will make sure that in all your ways, you acknowledge God. That is what happens. So gradually, as you read the Bible and you receive it, then you apply it to your life, your mind changes. You read the word of God, you receive it, you apply it in your life, it becomes your word, it becomes your way of thinking, it becomes your philosophy, and then your life is affected. I listen to what I'm trying to say. The Bible says the God that we serve, he neither sleeps nor slumber. He does not sleep nor slumber. And so, let's say you're going through something, and then you think that, oh, where is God? Where is God? Where is God? Why is God allowing this? Why has God... No. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. You know, in this pandemic, I'm sure some Christians have died. I'm sure maybe one or two of you know a Christian who is dead. It's sad. Sometimes you see posts on Facebook, people have lost their families and relatives. It's sad. But those that are dead who are Christians, I mean, the hope is that they've gone to heaven. I mean, God is alive. God is awake. God is not sleeping. And so when one of his children, contracts this virus or is affected by the virus and God forbid, you know, the person dies, we have to understand that if God had to allow that to happen before it happened. Are you with me? And so that is how you gradually renew your mind, and then you begin to think different. Begin to think differently. Now, you know, there's something about even respecting and honoring fathers, mothers, you know, pastors, the church, and all of that. You know, the other day, I was called and I was told that some guy tried to break into the church, you know. And so we went there, we went to, look at all the things and the footage we have. We had to look at it and all of that. I mean, you could see somebody just jump into the yard around 1:53 a.m., you know, to just come into the church and try to see whether the doors were open, the windows were open. You could see on the footage at that time of the night how he was just moving around trying to look for something. I mean, unless the person doesn't really know that it's a church, you don't go and steal from a church. You don't do that. I mean, that thinking is a very old gutter-like thinking, that the church of God, you can go, if you want to steal something, you can go into the church and steal something from the church. I mean, it can't be like that. But you see, these things also happen. But people who were thieves, when they give their life to Christ, they come to church and they still practice stealing. It happens. You can't steal. But he said, let him that stole steal no more. Ephesians chapter 4. He said, when you put on the new man, one of the things that you have to do is that you don't steal anymore. So when you come to church and you are stealing from people, you go to work, you are stealing, you and your friend, you are stealing a little 1,000 here, a little money here, this, that. You know, you are in charge of the money at a workplace. Your boss has entrusted you with the money, the accounts, the till, you know, the place where all of that, you are a cashier. And then there's always something with money. I mean, well, you're a Christian. No, the Bible said, let him that stole steal no more. So until the word of God is received and it becomes your own belief, becomes your own philosophy, your mind does not change. You see, some people even say that word, I don't need to go to church to go to heaven or to be saved. People have such beliefs, isn't it? But again, the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, if you read this word and you receive it, nobody will tell you to go to church. Because that is what the Bible is actually saying. David said that a day in your house is better than 1,000 out there. He said at the end of Psalm 23, he said that, and I'll dwell in your house forever. You get it. So it is receiving it. You receive the word. You read it. You receive it. That this is my word. My God, this well, God talking to me. Then it becomes part of you. You practice it. You see that your mind begins to be affected. Your mind begins to change. Your mind begins to change. Look at me. I mean, as your pastor, I all the way from West Africa. All the way from West Africa. I migrated to Europe. I gave my life to Christ before I migrated. I was there serving the Lord. And then the Lord spoke to me through the bishop about starting a church, Lighthouse Chapel International in the Netherlands. I mean, I went to Europe to look for money. I went to look for money like any of our relatives or your relatives, they've migrated to North America. It is because of green pastures. But it's God who makes you lie down in green pastures. That's the thing that people don't know. He says, David said that he makes me lie down. Even if I don't want it, he makes me lie down. That is why at the end of the psalm, he says, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's God who makes you lie down in green pastures. You can migrate. You can educate yourself. You can do business for green pastures. But let me tell you, Christian friend, it is God Almighty. Your mind must be renewed. You must renew your mind. Since you got born again, your mind is not renewed. You think that it's by hard work and it's by your ability, it's by power, it's by your might that you will get green pastures to graze on. Green pastures come from God. He's the giver of all things. He's the giver of all things. You know, so when they migrated, you know, wanted to prosper, wanted to do well, went to university and all of that. Then, as I joined the church and I began to learn more, and learn more, my mind began to change. That at a point, it's like, you don't even want anything in life anymore. And that's how I was able to leave Europe, and migrate here into this beautiful country to be a pastor to you. My mind was affected. I mean, who leaves Europe and come to, you know, a place where you have to, more or less, you're going the opposite direction, like we say. How many Ghanaians do you know? I think I was asking that question the other day. How many Ghanaians do you know in Guyana? Ghanaians don't come to Guyana. Because Ghanaians, when they leave Ghana, the mindset is to prosper. And now we have oil, so, you know, some prosperity may come as we go along. But this is not an original destination where Ghanaians will come to. So a few Ghanaians that are here, you see that it's quite a very different divine purpose that brought us here. It is the mind change that even brought me there, my wife, my children that have come to live here for all these years. I mean, it is the same mind change that will make you also leave Georgetown and probably go to Lethem to live and start a church. It's the same mindset change that will also make you live here. Because I've had a few church members who have left Georgetown and gone outside Georgetown because of their jobs. And as they went there, they were promoted. It happens. I see, we will not do that for God. You will not take up the challenge to go to Maburuma for God, because the mindset is that I can't leave Georgetown. Prosperity is Georgetown. Prosperity is not anywhere. Prosperity, Bible says, it is God who gives us the power to get wealth. The reading of the scriptures, the receiving of the word of God, that is what will change your mind. So that you'll be able to accept that which is good and the perfect will of God for your life. Can I have an amen from somebody? So that is step number one in renewing your mind, receiving the word of God. John chapter 15 verse 3 says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Cleanness, renewal comes through the word of God. The second point, we have only 2 points for this evening. Second point, your mind is also renewed by joining the right church and learning the right things. Joining the right church and learning the right things. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, we are used to our church in a different way in our country. But there are some things to learn in church. If you don't join the right church and learn the right things, your mind will not change. It's not every church where that they will tell you some of the things that we are telling you. You know, one young lady was telling me, as I think it was yesterday or this morning or something like that, that, you know, a relative was I think they were trying to invite a relative to church. And the relative said, I think they probably gave the person the direction. And the person said, a lighthouse chapel? A lighthouse chapel? Another church? Another church? And the person said all kinds of things about lighthouse chapel. You know? But one of the things the person said that I can remember is that the church controls people. The church controls people. I mean, look at it. You have to receive that. So that's why receiving the word of God is very important. It is the word of God that controls us. Paul said, the love of God, the love of Christ constrains me. I mean, if you get angry with somebody as a Christian and you see a cutlass, what will prevent you from not taking the cutlass and chopping the person? It is because of your thoughts about God. It will be your conscience. It will be that which you know as a Christian that you can't kill, you can't do this to this person. That's what will prevent you from taking the cutlass and chopping somebody to death. That is, if you call that control, well, then so be it. But yes, we have to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Otherwise, we will do all kinds of things. You look at it. If you and I were not controlled, we'll be here by now. I mean, look at it. You've tuned in. Is it control? Will you call this control? No, you have grown in the Lord. You have received the word of God. Your mind has been renewed, and it continues to be renewed. That's why you've tuned in this evening for the few minutes you have to listen to the word of God. It's a mind change. Instead of just turning on Netflix and watching a movie, you are listening to your pastor. Do you call that control, or you call that receiving the word of God and understanding what this meeting, this fellowship, this interaction means to you and what it does for your spirit, man? It is that's what makes us do all the things we do. We don't go to church because we are controlled. We go to church because we know the benefit of going to church. We don't give money because somebody is controlling us to give offering. We give offering because we believe that when you give, it shall be given back unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall he cause men to give unto your bosom. And so you have to join the right church and learn the right things. I don't see how you want to join the right church and learn the wrong things. If you join our church, we'll teach you the right things. We teach you how to manage yourself as a Christian, how to do your best for the Lord, how to work for the Lord, how to make it to heaven with some works. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So we really speak about not just being born again and coming to church, but also doing something with your faith. You know, so you join the right churches. Not all churches that are right. If you go to some churches, you will never be asked to do anything. You will never be involved in anything. You will go, you come home, you will go, you will come home, you go, you come home. Like that's the routine. But in our church, we try to encourage you to do something for the Lord. Jesus said, as long as it is day, I'll do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus came to work. The Bible says that God gave the fivefold ministry for the perfection of the saints for the work of the ministry. And that's what we teach in our church. Join the right church and learn the right things. Now, for example, people think that the church doesn't need money. You look at it now. Even Virgin Atlantic, I don't know if you read the news. Virgin Atlantic, Prince, I don't know if you know. Virgin Atlantic has gone bankrupt. Yeah. The guy who owns Virgin Atlantic is asking for help. A lot of things are going wrong. You see, so if even the guy who owns the aeroplane has gone bankrupt, why? It's because of money. So the church of God needs, we as a church, even though we are not meeting physically, we still need you to be faithful in your offerings and your tithe. I'm sure some people, if you don't understand tithing, you can easily take a break. We don't know how long the pandemic is going to be around. Maybe to the end of the year, God forbid. Maybe 2 months more or something. We don't know. It does not mean that you go on break with your tithe. It doesn't mean that you should go on break with your offering. Because business people are going bankrupt. You know, I don't think you want the church to go bankrupt. But the church will never go bankrupt in the name of Jesus. Jesus said he will build his church, including the financing of the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So join the right church and learn the right things. You think about it. How many churches, or how many people give $5,000 offering in the churches they go to? Ask your friends, ask your relatives, ask your neighbors, those who go to the churches they go to. If they go to a good church, they take the basket very open, and they throw the $20, they throw the $10, and they throw the $100, and $500. The most somebody will give is probably $1,000. You don't see people out of their heart giving $5. Even in our church, we have to encourage you. We have to, you know, speak to you. We have to provoke you. Bible says, provoke one another unto good works. So that's what we provoke you to good works. It's not something you naturally do. So you need to join the right church. Did you realize that in our country, not every church member of it, every church speaks in tongues? Many church members don't speak in tongues in many churches in our country. Why? The right church will teach you that the Bible says that he that believeth in me, out of the person's belly shall flow rivers of living water. Tongue speaking, the Holy Ghost baptism is for everybody. It's a promise. Jesus said that when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive power. Don't you want power? Who doesn't want power? How can you deprive people in the church of power? Why don't you teach about the Holy Ghost baptism? Why don't you pray for people to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? It doesn't happen. Because the church probably is not the right church. So you join the right church and you learn the right things. It tunes your mind. It changes your mind. That's how one day somebody was passing and heard us praying at Hebron. You know, and then the person said, these people are crazy. Why are they all speaking in tongues and nobody's interpreting? Because that person has obviously not joined the right church to learn the right things. Because tongues comes in different ways. There's a tongue that you Bible says, build yourself up your most holy faith. Jude 20, build yourself up your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. So how do I build myself up if I don't pray in tongues? That tongues is to build myself up, right? That is not the tongue that when you speak, you have to interpret it. It has nothing to do with interpretation, all right? So after you are born again, your mind is still the same. It must be renewed. If you don't renew your mind, there's so many things that God has in store for you. You will not be able to receive it. You see, if you had a bad experience with guys, for example, and you give your life to Christ and you don't renew it, then you meet a guy who loves you, who wants to marry you, who wants to spend the rest of his life with you. Your old experience can easily not make you accept that which is good coming your way. And many people have gone through all these things. And then later you say, you know what? God doesn't care for me, or God doesn't want the best for me. It's not like that. It is just the renewing of your mind. You know, so after you're born again, your mind is still the same. It must be renewed. And you renew it by, number one, receiving the word of God. Receiving it. You must receive it as your own. You accept it. It becomes your philosophy. Becomes what you live by. And then your mind changes, your mind begins to work in a different way. And then the second point is that you renew your mind by joining the right church and learning the right things. Hallelujah. So we'll end the message here. I'll end the message here for tonight. Hope you're blessed. Of course, the video is going to be available after all is said and done. After I'm gone, you can go back to it and listen to it again. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for this principle. Thank you for teaching us that our spirits are new. You've given us a new spirit. We believe it. We know it. The way we have lived our lives and the way we've been going, definitely something new has happened to us. We believe your word. Lord, help us to renew our minds by the word of God. Sometimes the word of God we don't understand. Sometimes we understand, but it's very difficult for us to receive. Because our minds, what have been stored in our memory, has taken too much control over our lives. Therefore, I pray for your help. I come against the stronghold in the minds of your people. The things they've grown up with. The things they have been taught when they were young. The things that they've been programmed with, oh God, when they were not Christians. I come against those strongholds right now in the name of Jesus. Every stronghold in your mind, I break it. I destroy it in the name of Jesus. Bible says the word of God is like fire. I speak into your mind and set ablaze the old things, the things that have kept you behind, the things that still control you even though you are a Christian. I set them ablaze and I set them on fire in the name of Jesus. And I release you, and I release your mind, I release your thinking to think about the word of God. Bible says, if there are anything, think about these things, anything of virtue, any good things, think about these things. May your mind be on God, may your mind be on his word. Every mind control from your past, every mind control from your sinful life in the past, I break the power of it and the hold of it now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. I declare your mind is free. I declare your mind is empty, and that you are filling your mind with the word of God, the precious seed of the word of God. Your mind is renewed in the name of Jesus, and you are beginning to live the life the way God expects you to live it. Father, thank you for minds that have been set free. Minds that have been broken loose, chains in the minds that have been broken, strongholds that have been brought down low. I give you praise. I give you glory, and I declare that your people are going to walk by the word of God. They're going to receive the word of God. They are going to walk by it, and their lives indeed are going to be affected by receiving and by changing the way they think. Thank you, Father, for tonight. I give you praise. I commit everyone to you, my Lord and my God. During this pandemic, I pray for your mercy. I pray for your grace. I pray for your provision. I pray for your supply. I pray for your deliverance. I pray, Lord, you protect and order the steps of your people. Take them away from the presence of anybody who has the coronavirus. May they not go near anybody who's affected in Jesus' name. I declare over Shepherd House, Shepherd House International, any member, anybody who tuned in, those who didn't tune in, I declare over their lives that they will not contract this deadly disease. I rebuke any work of the devil to affect anyone of my sheep with this disease in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Anoint every head with oil. Protect them by anointing them, their head with oil, even tonight as I pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, somebody said, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.